Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsberg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to In the Know. This is a special question and answer episode. We've been kind of trying to do this for a while, and for reasons it hasn't happened. So here we are, taking your questions in and answering them. Mason, this is your favorite type of podcast. I know it is. You love when all of these people ask you all of these questions that are very awesome. And so I don't want to waste any more time. I feel like we've put this off for so long. We can just get right into it. I'm going to pick a question. I'm going to shoot it right at you, and you got to give me your reaction immediately. Okay. No preparation. No preparation at all. Okay. Cool. We're going to start with a heavy hitting one, and no time to hedge on this one. Okay. Clovis Mello, Dark Hornet, are Bledsoe and or Adams contracts anything to be concerned about for team flexibility? You're taking it wrong.
Dude, I was going to say it depends, which is the worst answer possible because it depends on when you talk. What's the timeline? I
mean, no hedging.
So, yes, I mean, you've got some near-term flexibility issues, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about because if you're the concern is if the lack of flexibility is around cap space. And if you want to be a cap team, honestly, I'm very happy to not be a cap team this year because I think that market's going to get tough with all the players who have already re-signed, all the top free agents that we thought this was going to be some sort of great class. A lot of them have come off the market. And so you're left stuck with teams with cap space, potentially overpaying meddling players. And so I'm okay with not having cap space. As long as you've got enough room, buffer up against the tax to maneuver, then you're fine. And the Pelicans do. I mean, like the only way they would get close to the luxury tax line is if they extend both Hart and Lonzo. And that's a topic we discussed on the last podcast I'm not going to dive into. But so long way of saying it hampers your flexibility to a degree, but it's not something I'm concerned about because I never really wanted to be a salary cap team in the first place. And if so, the way the Pelicans could have best used that cap space is by renting it out to other teams. But that's kind of where I sit.
My answer is no. doesn't really hamper team flexibility or is anything to be concerned about. I think Adams is very movable on his next deal. I think teams want him. I've kind of heard whispers of such. Bledsoe, he's a glorified expiring. They're going to attach a pick or two, get a player they want. He is trade bait. I will be shocked if he comes back. No concern with him whatsoever. Cool. Good answer. Good question, Clovis. Mellow, Dark Hornet, at Dark Hornet. Good question. Mason, I can keep hitting you with rapid fire questions, or would you want to pick one of your own?
I'll go with a related question. And so no disrespect to one of the other Bens who has asked this question. We'll get to it in a second. But the greatest Ben asked us realistically, what are the options to get off of Bledsoe's contract? Trade, stretch? And so I'll let you go a little bit deeper on the Bledsoe topic.
Yeah, so first of all disrespect to the other Ben.
I was setting you up for that.
All disrespect to him. But Benjamin at the greatest Ben, realistically, what are the first of all, stretch is just off the table. Maybe there's one universe where they stretch him where it's like, you know, like they wanna have the maximum possible cap space this summer. Period. For whatever reason, you know, they renounce Lonzo, they renounce James Johnson and Josh Hart and all their pending free agents. They completely renounce and they want to create more cap space, so they stretch Bledsoe's contract, and you know they're unable to find
over 5 years.
Right, over 5 years, and for maybe I don't know who it could possibly be that they would want the cap space for, but that would be the way to do it. Other than that, there's just no reason to stretch him. The realistic options are they're gonna move him. Gary Harris, making more money than Bledsoe, was moved along with a pick and a young player for Aaron Gordon. Bledsoe's getting moved, just as he was moved this previous summer for Drew Holiday. He will be moved for another player with copious amounts of picks.
And on that topic too, I mean, like I think there's some nervousness from teams around what the point guard market is looking like in this offseason. So, you know, you hear some, I've already heard scares around Schroeder potentially getting $25 million a year. And so if that scares you, that scares the hell out of you, maybe Bledsoe for 16 doesn't sound so damn bad. And so obviously
you'd be at 18 or something.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And so it's not, you know, definitely a negative value contract, but if you want a 1 year rental and don't want to pay a free agent $25 million a year, have at it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Jenna Schroeder used a 4-year, $100 million deal potentially on the table. Kyle Lowry is the other point guard that's on the market this summer, and then there's Lonzo. I think that's it. So if you're a team that needs a point guard, here is Eric Bledsoe. Or, you know, if you're just a team that, hey, you're deciding to transition into a rebuild, you need some salary to get some trades off, hey, there's Eric Bledsoe. I'm not concerned about him. It's not going to take – I don't think it's going to take, like, many additional picks to get off of his contract. It really is a glorifying expiring at this point.
Yep, I agree with that.
All right, so next question, Nola Flint. Before James Johnson, who was the last vocal leader on defense, who the coaches didn't have to beg to be vocal? It's a good question. I have a couple answers. What do you got? Wow, I'm starting a timer.
You go then. Give me if you have a couple answers, go for it.
It was in the same year. There was two answers. There was Rajon Rondo and there was Emeka Okafor. Both of them. And people won't like to hear this, but Anthony Davis was a really good communicator on defense. He was. Those are three answers. But Rondo was all over it. Emeka Okafor, he had that brief period when he was starting after Boogie went down. Excellent job. That was a crazy period. I mean, they just kind of picked Emeka Okafor. He's like 35 years old. Picked him up off the streets. He was playing in a SpongeBob jersey for the Philadelphia, like, 87ers or whatever their G League team is. And they signed this man to a contract and they went on a 10 game winning streak. And then the 5-game winning streak to close the year. And he was starting and he was playing really well. Emeka Okafor. It was good times.
Yeah, I was going further back. I was thinking like Trevor Ariza.
I don't know if like Ariza was ever that guy for us, but maybe I don't know. I mean, if you're counting Ariza, then you got to count Chris Paul because he was there, and then you might as well go back to Tyson.
Wasn't Ariza? I thought Ariza was there a little bit later than Chris Paul, but yeah,
no, that anyway. he played in that final series against the Lakers. Ariza was there.
What about? So the other guy I thought about was freaking Dante Cunningham.
He's not a vocal leader, man. Oh, Solomon Hill. He was a vocal leader. He talked. He was loud. He talked a lot. You know, there was times, I mean, even on offense, he talked. There was like times where AD would be posting up someone. You could hear him scream through the TV, cook his ass, AD. But yeah, Solomon Hill was loud.
Kendrick Perkins.
Kenrich Williams, the guy that J.J. Redick really looked forward to playing with, and part of the reason why he requested a trade was Kenrich Williams. Anywho, next question.
Somehow we managed to drop Kendrick Perkins' name into both episodes.
You have? What do you mean we?
Fair enough. Oh, man. What's next?
What is next?
Let's see.
We can go to the disrespectful men.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, his question was kind of silly. Bad question, Ben. Ben Alterman, how many assists per game does peak point Zion average? I'm sorry, Ben. It's not really a bad question.
Yeah, it's a really fun question. It's a fun question. So in the past month or so, he's been at like it's probably like four a game. I've been looking at the stats, but like
over it's around four. So. It's just like slightly over three.
I could see Pete Zion getting to seven or eight. I don't see him ever getting the double digits, but I could see seven or eight. Yeah.
Giannis is at 6.2 right now. That's his career high. Seven or eight seems like a good peak.
That's fair. That seems
like a good peak. It seems like a good peak. I will say that. That's a good peak. I do think that he's closer to James Harden than he is Giannis. And so I think he will average more assists by virtue of that, especially once he gets better teammates who can make more shots. But yeah, that's a different story. So good, bad question, Ben. We didn't spend much time on it.
All right. So here's a little bit more of a deeper question. But it's really, I'm struggling with it personally because I don't know how to parse all the different factors out recently of the injuries versus the quality of opponents. But Corbor asks us, have the Pelicans improved on defense? And if so, how have they done so?
No.
Damn, full stop?
Full stop. No, I mean, they're not a good defensive team. They're playing shitty teams.
Well, that's not the question, though. Have they improved from where they were?
No. No, I don't think they have. I think they're a shitty defensive team. I think that they were unlucky to start the season with some 3-point shooting, and that kind of like swings the net ratings and the defensive ratings a little bit. Yeah. I don't think process wise and personnel wise they are better, but I will put a caveat in there. Replacing JJ for JJ may make a huge difference because those podcaster JJ minutes were terrible. They were terrible, terrible, terrible defensive minutes. And so replacing them with MMA JJ, you might be onto something. And it may just be like, hey, we play less bad defensive players. I mean, it still doesn't get around this, you know, issue you have in the starting lineup where Zion's a bad defender. He's getting better. He's gotten much better. And Ingram's just one of the worst defensive players in the league, full stop. But, you know, the bench with Jackson not being a lost puppy and then, you know, podcaster JJ being in Dallas, maybe onto something there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a fun question. This is another fun question. They don't have any like ridiculous,
getting too serious.
People like just want to you win one basketball game and suddenly everyone wants to talk about basketball. Like where are the memes? This is from Brown Pelly. And it says front office slash coaching staff's plan to make young guys earn their minutes looks like it's working. What are the biggest areas of improvement for each of Jax, Kyra, and Nikhil to be able to earn 25 to 30 minutes a game next season? Which ones do you think will get there if they're on the roster? It's a good question.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who I want to start with. I will start with Jackson Hayes. And so I think what we talked a lot about him in the last podcast, so I won't go too far into the weeds on this one, but I think him being able to and continue to improve defensively. I think the stuff that we're seeing on offense is wild and fun, but that's not really what I care about for Jackson Hayes in order to keep, for him to keep getting more consistent minutes. And it's him, you know, defending without fouling, being a versatile and good interior presence, and rebounding comes right along with that. You mentioned in the last episode that he is still not a good rebounder, even though he's improving. I think looking to Jackson Hayes for defense and rebounding is, and that kind of consistency is absolutely probably what Stan Van Gundy is looking for. The offensive stuff, again, it's fun, but I feel like he's got a lot more room to grow there, and it's more of a long-term process. Whereas like, I feel like some of the defense and rebounding stuff is things he can get better at more quickly. And that's what will earn him consistent minutes.
Yeah.
You want to grab one of the guards?
Yeah, I was like, I spent a lot of time talking about Jackson Hayes on the last podcast. You're right. The defense is what's going to keep him on the floor. It's not going to be his offense, which we all agree that he has potential to improve. Kyra and Nikhil, for Kyra, it's just continuing to stay aggressive. And I don't have any concerns about his offense. It's kind of like putting on the weight to kind of hang in there defensively and get better defensively. I think his shot's going to get better as his body develops. His shot's already pretty good. I think he has a good form and good base for it. He can shoot. I think his finishing gets better as he gets stronger. And so it's for him, it's more of like a body development type thing. He's already a spectacular decision maker for his age. And Nikhil, it's decision making. It's he can be very turnover prone. I think his shot will come and go. I think it'll stabilize at some point, probably around 36-37%. He does take difficult looks. Probably not going to be a high level elite 3-point shooter, but he's probably going to be someone that you can trust to knock down open shot. So like, continue to develop that area. But the biggest thing for him is his decision making. It's you got to know when to shoot, pass, or dribble. And right now that doesn't always function for him at a high level, and it can lead to some really, really erratic decisions. And when he makes some mistakes, he kind of beats himself up about it. But that's for Nikhil, it's 100% decision making, and it that may just be a mental confidence component.
Let's go to a question from, although I'm not sure who, JJ's burner. I'm not sure which burner, which JJ. The question is Zion always going to get a lot of reps with the bench units, or do you think this team will eventually move away from that lineup?
I mean, I think if it continues to beat the crap out of people as it has been in like the last month or so, yes, he will continue to get those minutes, and he will continue to get those minutes until it no longer works. And sure, as the chemistry or the composition of this team changes, let's say they get add in another big player or whatnot, maybe that adjusts. But I'm going with the why fix something if it ain't broke.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see any reason to move that. I mean, especially given how many problems this team's bench unit has had this season. They finally found something that seems to be clicking. And obviously that coincides with the fact that the young players are starting to gain more confidence and play better. Maybe you can tinker with that lineup and still have success. But I feel like for now, why mess with it?
For like a year and a half, we on this pod were like, we need a creator. We need someone who can create shots. And then boom, there's Zion. There's point Zion. And what better way than to just put him with the bench unit where he gets pretty much all of that responsibility and usage. And you get a bunch of athletic guys who play defense and can make plays, move the ball. And it works. It just works. He sets those pieces in their place with his presence and his ability to make plays. So I don't see any reason why they would move off of that lineup unless there's like drastic roster changes or it just stops working for an extended period. All right. Next question. This is from Rock Hood at Rockhood 84. He says, do you think the Pelicans will make the play-in or the playoffs, period? And do you think Jackson Hayes at the power forward and Steve at the center will work in the future?
So I think we beat that last topic a little bit to death in the last podcast, but I do think it's fun. That's because I got a couple, questions from Rockhood, from Lucas Boyle about, you know, should we tank, push the playing game? Are we going to make it? I struggle to say that we're going to make it. I certainly think it's a chance, and I certainly think they should still be trying to make the playoffs with the one Eric Bledsoe caveat. I think they should be doing everything they can to win games.
You guys wish so badly for Eric Bledsoe. I saw this in the tweet, by the way. I'm forgetting who it was, but it's so badly for Eric Bledsoe to no longer play with the starters that the whole starting lineup got hurt. Y'all got to stop wishing. it's a monkey's paw, and I'm stealing this. I saw this on Twitter, and I wish I could attribute credit for it, but you know it. Seriously, like let's lay off the Bledsoe stuff. Maybe our guys will stop getting hurt and he'll organically be moved. But like, come on, at this point, everyone's hurt but him.
that's some interesting karma tie-ins you just created. So that fair enough. But no, I mean, like, all jokes aside, I want this team to get to the play-in game, and that would be fun. I think it would be cool for the team to play some games that matter. Do I think that's like critical for development or anything like that? No. But I'd rather see this team play fun and good basketball heading into the off season than just kind of tank and try to get Cade. I mean, that's just, and I think most in the organization would say the same thing. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I think the players are going to try to win.
Shocking.
I think Stan is going to try to win. And if that means playing Bledsoe 45 minutes a game, he will do it. And everything else, you know, like they can only control what they can control. So I have no idea what's going to happen. At this point, I would have said they're not going to make the play-in, but man, like Golden State looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Memphis has a tough schedule coming up. I feel like it's impossible to rule them out. They're right there. I mean, the Kings are right behind them too. And technically, the OKC Thunder, who are way trying to tank, are right behind them as well. But, you know, between the Spurs, the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and the Kings, and the Pelicans, between those five teams, health will dictate a lot of what's going to happen, and anything can happen regarding that.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, Steven Adams and Jackson Hayes, front court of the future. Ship it. It's going to be a championship front court.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next question. We were actually running out. We're hitting these pretty quickly. I like it. This is a good pace. It's a very good pace. This is on that Saints pack at Champs World 404. Are the Nets player miraculously going to heal up and play us Wednesday? Yes.
Yeah. We both said at the same time. Yes.
Yes. That's how this works. That is 100% how this works. Now, the way this also works is the Pelicans somehow pull off the win, you know, starting Isaiah Thomas.
and everyone gets healthy for the Pelicans and they get blown out, or no one gets healthy for the Pelicans and they pull off some stupid win.
It's at this point, you know, if you're betting on the Pelicans, you're probably losing money. Mm-hmm. Cool. And this is a question from Dev at D.Lewis. Wait, is that 13? Fuck, I don't know my Roman numerals, man. It's 13. It's
X. I respect the effort, though. I respect it.
Lewis the 13th. Yes, it's XIII. That's 13. I can count. Why do we use Roman numerals these days? His question is, what to do with JJ, LOL, and Wes in the offseason? Was SVG the right hire in hindsight? Year one revisionist history.
Well, again, the James Johnson topic, unless he means JJ Redick, that would be surprising me. But the James Johnson topic, I think it would be great to bring him back. you know, depending on how the cap situation works, I agree with everything you said in the last podcast about, you know, he could be a trade chip, but if he clearly brings a, you know, positive, you know, value to the Pelicans team down the stretch, there's no reason why they shouldn't look into it. As for Wes, he's guaranteed for basically the minimum salary next year. So, I expect he'll be on the roster. I mean, they could, if they really don't see anything with him, they could cut him, but I think more likely he's used as added filler for a trade if necessary.
Yeah, he can grease the wheels of a trade, not as an asset, but as salary matching.
Right. And you know, I think the jury's still out on Stan Van Gundy. We talked a little bit about this, you and I, during our kind of halfway All-Star break evaluation, but I have nothing negative to say about Stan. I don't have anything super positive to say either. I think he's done about what I expected the job based on all the limited, you know, ways he had to work with the roster before the season. You know, given the no shortened training camp and COVID and all that. So I feel like it's unfair to evaluate him fully. Don't really want to go back down that rabbit hole from what we talked about a few weeks back, but you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, was he the right hire? Cause that requires you knowing all the various options. And obviously there's some, like, Lou chose to go elsewhere. But I'm still good with it.
Yeah. I'm going to pull a Raphael Stone and be like, call me in 2024 because
seriously,
no, because Stan is a 4-year process. That's what he is. He's not there to turn you around in one season. He's there to build a culture, build basketball players, build an overall system, which is obviously difficult to do in a pandemic. But for everyone that says he's old school and can't adapt, he adapted pretty quickly to putting the ball in Zion's hands. He has one of the top offenses in the league, the best over the last 2 months since he has put the ball in Zion's hands, which is doubly impressive given the offensively inept roster he's been handed outside of, you know, Zion and Ingram. Basically, he's adapted pretty quickly to playing the young players and giving them sufficient leash to kind of get their stuff done. Obviously, we as fans want more, but the young players are getting adequate minutes. They're not just rotting away. So again, it's a process. We shall see where he ends up and how the Pelicans turn out.
I think we've run through a lot of these. We're intentionally avoiding the Lonzo questions because we or are we still going there?
I mean, you can. I'm personally like done talking about Lonzo. I literally anything you can say about Lonzo. Like if you hear the question every single day, what are you gonna pay Lonzo? What would you trade him for? What would you look? If you don't know where I stand on this. It takes a very quick search to figure out where I stand on this.
Yeah, so search Shemit Lonzo on Twitter and see what happens.
Oh no. Oh no.
Oh
no. Don't do that. Not for me, it's for you.
All right, fair enough. I think that's pretty much what we got. I don't know. There's one last question. So, all right, we can wrap it with this one. So FM Sammy, Samuel Wilcher asks, I want final season win total predictions. How many games do we win and where do we finish in the standings?
Man, how many games are there this season? 72.
So that's exactly what I'm Googling right now.
36 is halfway. Yeah. I say they win, what? They're 22-27. They're 5 games below 500. I say they win 30 of the 36. And I think that puts them at 11 where they are now.
So wait, say that record again. What?
Oh, that puts them at 12. Oh, they're at, so I think they finished 30. No, shit.
23 games left.
Fuck, I did the math wrong. Totally.
I was very confused. No, they,
sorry.
They're 22-27. My bad. 23 games left.
Well, so, yeah, let's just pretend that never happened. I think they win Yeah, I think they I'm still gonna say 30. So they go 30 and 42. I think they win 8 more games.
Yeah, 23, huh?
Okay, maybe that's really bad. I'll say I'll give them 3 more wins. They win 11 of those games.
Okay, so that's 11. They go 11 and 12 down the stretch. They finish with 33 wins and 39 losses.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be a little bit more an optimist than that. I think they finish. I guess this is very dependent on health, like you said a little while ago. But I think they win more than they lose down the stretch. I don't think they get back to 500. I think something like 35 and 37, 34 and 38. Because if they go over 500 for the rest of the way, that means they've won at least 12 more games, and so that would put them at 34 wins, which is interesting because wasn't their Vegas over under like 35 or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so like for all the garbage that's been spewed about how bad the Pelicans are and how the season was lost 4 games into the year, I mean, they could very, and their schedule on the stretch is not that daunting. I do think they run into some teams that maybe more good teams that actually have things to play for versus the really good teams that maybe can start taking their foot off the gas. But I can see them. I'll go with 35 and 37 as the final. And that would
so be- you think they win 13, they go 13 and 10 to close?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's do it. I'm tired of losing.
Yeah, well, they're gonna lose more, man. I think it's more likely they win 30 than they win 35.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've been losing all year, and now they're getting hurt. So like, if the injuries continue, they've already lost Hart for basically the whole season. If Zion and Ingram linger any considerable amount further, or any of these other guys get hurt, what then? And so just playing the odds, them not being a good team. Like them finishing 13 and 10, well, that requires a lot. But,
it requires them being better in crunch time than they've been. And it requires them being, it requires Zion and Ingram getting healthy quickly. I can roll with it. It's like I said, the schedule is not as bad as it was before to this point. So I'm cool to bank on that for a couple extra wins. And so, I think. Yeah, I struggle with them getting to 500. I think that's kind of a bridge too far, but I'm like a 34, 35 one, so I'll say 35.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna ask you some rapid fire questions. You're allowed like 10 seconds to answer them. And we will wrap up the podcast. Okay, question number one. What's a worse outcome on a possession? Josh Hart pump fake or pump fake open three or Alonzo Ball drive?
Josh Hart pump fake.
Okay. What's more pleasing to watch? Brandon Ingram pull up fadeaway mid-range jumper, just splash three over the face of a defender, or Jackson Hayes block?
The BI play.
Okay. You got 2 minutes left in the game. You need to get a stop. And the player you're trying to get a stop against is a wing-sized player. Who would you rather put on him defensively? Brandon Ingram or Isaiah Thomas?
Shit. I think I spoke too soon, and I'm shocked about that. Oh, man. Yeah, sorry. Can I change my answer?
You set me up.
You set me up so well.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. You can only pick one player to do a jump ball for the Pelicans for the next 4 years. You have Nikhil Alexander Walker or Wes Iwundu.
Does that mean that you have to have that player on the team for 4 years too?
Forget about it in that context. Just
okay. I'll go with Wes then.
Okay. All right. You're trying to build the most competitive baseball team and you want a pitcher, you want a pitcher from the Pelicans, who would you pick?
Steven Adams.
Wow. Wait, why?
He's tall. He's got gravity on his side.
Got massive hands.
Yeah, and that's a nice. He could probably throw like some crazy ass pitches.
He probably has played cricket before.
Yeah, like I think I feel very good about my choice. Who would you pick?
Wow, now I'm thinking it. I thought the obvious one probably would have been Lonzo, but yeah, no, Steven Adams probably works. Okay. Is there an NBA team that can beat the Pelicans in a street fight?
I need more than 10 seconds to this question. I mean,
okay, fine. You can have more than 10.
I think my answer is yes, but I still know the team.
You just don't know the team. Okay. Why is it yes?
Because there are 29 other teams in the league. I'm playing the odds.
If you're playing the, we got Steven Adams and James Johnson, and obviously you have Zion and Eric Bledsoe. He's got muscles.
I just think there's got to be one team.
Who?
I don't know. I'm looking.
I don't know. I feel like the Lakers. I feel like the Lakers are probably a good pick. Anthony Davis is soft, so I wouldn't like include him. But you know, like Marc Gasol and Bron and Morris and KCP and Schroeder, they more than make up for Anthony Davis's is soft comings, shortcomings.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I think the Lakers would be a good pick. Philly's an interesting one because they're just huge. I think they're more nice guys. I don't know. I don't know.
What team is Bobby Portis on now? The Bucks?
Yeah. Oh, the Bucks are a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Bucks have too many nice guys. But, you know, they got PJ Tucker now too. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I think that I would still say the Pelicans are favorites. I would still say the Pelicans are the favorites. Okay. Last question. If you had to cast any Pelican in a superhero movie. Actually, no, that's way too easy because the answer is going to be Steve Adams. If you had to cast any Pelican in a murder mystery, who would play the lead detective?
Nikhil.
Ooh, that's a good one. Wait, why are you picking Nikhil?
Because I watched that dude do the lip syncing at the open practice, and that dude can act with the best of them, and so that's why I'm going with it.
Oh, I was just thinking like overall swag, like that dude knows how to dress and everything. He could be like a dapper Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, no, it's just everything made sense about it to me. I'm sure that's. I mean, this. Do you have another thought on that?
Nope. Nikhil, it is Detective Nah.
Detective
Nah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, that's that'll wrap up the podcast. And thank you for listening, folks. I appreciate your time. We had to come up with our own silly questions, and since y'all didn't ask any, so maybe next time.
Do better.
Do better.